Father, as we think on your word, may our hearts and minds be open to what you want us to hear, that we may go away from here knowing more of you and knowing your love reaches out to each one of us. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, we've been working through Epiphany. We started on Epiphany Sunday with the revealing of Jesus by the Magi, or to the Magi, and to the shepherds. And then we had a service of baptism here, which happened to coincide with the reading of the baptism of Christ, and that was a lovely service. And then we had, on the third Sunday in Epiphany, the wedding at Cana, that first miracle that Jesus performed. And then last week, Marcus spoke on the theme of the Nazareth Manifesto. This was where Jesus declared, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing," having read from Isaiah chapter 61. "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." A manifesto that applies not just then and there, but here and now, as Marcus told us last week in his sermon. Not just then and there, but here and now. So today, as we move from the season of Epiphany to the Sundays before Lent, we're looking at a passage in Luke that describes how Jesus started out in his ministry following that declaration at Nazareth. After he'd left the temple, Jesus went to Capernaum, where he preached in the synagogue there, and he drove out an evil spirit from someone. And on leaving the synagogue, he was invited to Simon's home, so that he might perhaps have a rest. Or perhaps Simon was sort of hoping that Jesus might actually come to his home and heal his mother-in-law, who was seriously ill. Whatever the reason, that offer of hospitality was appreciated, I'm sure, but the one thing Jesus didn't get was a rest. If we look at that reading, it can be divided into four parts. The healing of Simon's mother-in-law, which is followed by the healing of many people in the evening. Jesus, early the next morning, going out to try and get a quiet time. And then the final verses, which state that he had to travel on to preach in other places. Now, if we look at the healing of Simon's mother-in-law, it's recorded in all the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, each with slight variations. Matthew tells it as he touched her hand and the fever left her, and she got up and began to wait on him. Whereas Mark's version reads, "He went to her, took her hand and helped her, helped her up. The fever left her and she began to wait on them." And as we heard Luke's version, "He bent over her and rebuked the fever and it left her. She got up at once and began to wait on them." Jesus touched, Jesus spoke. Two ways he healed. Now Matthew and Mark don't record any words, but Luke notes particularly that Jesus rebuked the fever. And this was not just a fever, not a headache or something of that sort. I'm not very good at Greek pronunciation, but the Greek says synekonema parito megalo, being seized, fever great. That's, Greek doesn't flow the same way ours does, but being seized, fever great. And that word pyrito is familiar to us in, if we think of pyrotechnics, it's the same root there. And megalo, when we think of mega or big or large. Now, Luke is often referred to as Dr. Luke, and so it's interesting that he makes this clear distinction compared with the other Gospels. This was not just someone in bed with a headache, but who is running a very high temperature, as seen in that use of the word pyrito. And Luke tells us that Jesus rebuked the fever. Now, most often, that refers to the exorcising of a demon, but in this case, nothing is said, so we don't know. It might have been a fever, it might have been caused by a demon, it might have been an infection, or whatever. But what we do know, it was very serious. And so Jesus healed Simon's mother-in-law. And then people came. And when you read the Gospels, it seems that nearly every time Jesus heals someone, it attracts a crowd of people needing healing. Another feature of his healing ministry is the number of times he instructed the healed person not to tell everyone. In today's passage it says, "But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, because they knew he was the Christ." At the start of his ministry, miraculous healings were a regular occurrence and gave credence to his authority. Most importantly, though, was that Jesus wanted people to focus on his message, the words that he was speaking, rather than on the miracles that he was doing. And throughout history, there have been powerful moves of the Spirit, but while people have been clearly affected, it was the message that was important, a message of redemption, of forgiveness, and of love. A message that Jesus preached around the synagogues of Judea, as it tells us in verse 44. Now, walking from town to town and village to village was tiring. So Jesus sought out somewhere quiet. And it wasn't just the distances involved in walking from one place to another that was tiring, but the actual act of preaching is very draining. I know that, and others will probably agree with that. And anybody who's had to speak at a public meeting will know it takes quite a lot out of you. And Jesus was doing this day after day. And anyone who's in an intensive work situation knows they need to take a break. Now, the Sabbath day was set aside not purely for religious reasons to give people an opportunity to worship God, but for the very practical reason that each of us needs time to rest and recuperate. In this particular instance, Jesus sought out a solitary place where he could be quiet and pray, which is something I'm sure he did every day, though we're not told this. And it's also important for each of us to make sure we get adequate time off from our busy lives to enable our physical recovery. But it's also important for our spiritual well-being that we take time to seek out solitude in order to meet with God in prayer. Now, some people are very good at this, and their lives are wrapped round prayer times. For most of us, it's somewhat more of a challenge to find those quiet times when we can meet with God in prayer and listen to what God may be saying to us. If you find this is a challenge, you're not alone. I find it a challenge. But do persevere, because like Jesus, we have a mission. Jesus said in that passage, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent." The Nazareth Manifesto, or Declaration, set out clearly that Jesus was on a mission for God, a mission to preach the good news of the kingdom, or as Luke phrases it, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom to other towns." It was Christ's mission. It's also our mission. And I hardly need to read Matthew 28 to you to remind you, but I will. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the end of the age. Christ's mission is the church's mission. It's my mission and it's your mission. As we move in our lectionary readings from Epiphany, the revealing of Christ, we move toward the time of Lent, when we prepare our hearts and minds for the message of Holy Week, of Good Friday, and Easter Day itself. Our Saviour is revealed to the world through the words of the Bible to those who will read it. But he's also revealed to those who do not read it, through our words and our actions. Christ is revealed in my daily life and in your daily life if we reflect the love of God for us in our love for others, if we're willing to share our hope for the future, and then we will be fulfilling the call we have on our lives to make disciples of all the world. May the word of God guide us. May the peace of God renew us. And may the love of God empower each one of us for that mission. Amen.
Amen.